Hello, beautiful listeners. Welcome to the Pink Moon Podcast. This is your hostess, Somni Rose. I am an ASM artist producing quiet entertainment. In this space, I narrate stories which are accompanied by pink noise, white noise, and gentle sounds. Welcome. Before we dive in further in today's episode, I would like to address the pink elephant in the room. My sincerest of apologies for being away for a few months. I disappeared without warning. It was not my intention at all. I debated whether or not to discuss the reasons for my absence because this space is a quiet and positive space, and I don't want to taint it with negativity. However, I decided to talk about it for a bit because it could, at least I hope, help someone else. I'm not providing professional advice. That's not what this podcast is about. It's just that sometimes we can find comfort when we hear other people's stories. At least I do. Because we're in the middle of a pandemic, so many plans have been canceled, changed, and, well, we just have to stay afloat. And I cannot lie, this pandemic has affected my mental health. Some of my family members have been directly affected by COVID-19, and there were other health scares that surfaced, and the family, we needed to be there for one another. And of course, everything that I create for you, beautiful listeners, brings me joy. But I can only create a calming space for you if I am as well in a calming space. The good news is that my family is on the mend and we're taking everything day by day. I want to thank everyone for checking in. I've read your kind messages and thank you so much for the 5-star reviews you've left on Apple. Also, a special thank you to my VIPs over at Patreon for sticking by me and for making this podcast possible. There are so many sad things going on in the world right now, and I hear that 2020 is a reset year. Some are even saying that Earth has placed us on a timeout. And so many injustices are coming to the light. I think 2020 is going to be a very memorable year, and for many interesting reasons. I feel that I need to be careful on what I say because it just seems to be one of those years where everything that you can think can go wrong is happening. So we have to tread carefully. I would like for all of us to take a moment of silence. It is an opportunity where all of us can send well wishes, positive thoughts, prayers, blessings, and whatever ways you like to send energetically the best to anyone, to everyone who is listening to this episode. Because there are many people around the world going through some very difficult things. I mentioned that, yes, I mean, briefly, the ways that this pandemic has affected me, but I cannot imagine how it's affecting others. It is for this reason that I want to take a moment of silence where we can send well wishes to everyone listening. May you have the strength to get through your tribulations. May the solutions to your problems show up crystal clear for your eyes to see. May you have an amazing network of friends and family who are there for you. So let's inhale and we'll begin our 1 minute of silence at the exhalation. So ready to send well wishes? Let's do it now. Okay, inhale, exhale, what a difference a minute can make. Thank you, everyone. And just so that we can feel a little more relaxed, let's just inhale and exhale deeply one more time. Inhale. Exhale. Perfect. That is wonderful. So it is one of those days where the traffic is a little bit rowdy today. So I hope you don't mind some of the background noises. I'll try my very best to minimize them, but I'm just giving you the heads up in case some of those noises sneak through post-production. Okay, so let's see, where do we go to? Oh, I know where to go. Okay, I don't have any letters to read to you today, but I want to remind everyone that you can always send your comments about any past episodes at this address, thepinkmoonpodcast@gmail.com. All one word, thepinkmoonpodcast@gmail.com. If you are a new listener, hello, I read a story which is followed by my commentary, and then you, the listener, can send your feedback, your comments. You are responding to what I have said. And I read those replies on future episodes. So I'm looking forward to reading your letters after today's episode. Well, I am very proud of that segue, if I say so myself. So, where am I taking you today? What part of the world are we visiting? Well, it's two countries. We are going to France and the USA. Today's account was written by Jackie Ohayon, who graciously gave me permission to read her story. This episode was supposed to go live 2 weeks after she had said yes. And well, as per my intro, it didn't go as planned. While doing my research for the episode, I learned some things about Jackie's work. For example, she is raising funds for a project called A 4-Year Education for Jonas. Jonas is Haitian and is living in the U.S. pursuing an education. And I would like to take this moment to wish him all the very best on his education journey. Jonas, on te souhaite le meilleur. Bon courage avec tout. I've left the link in the description of this episode. Now, here's some information about the author. It is public information, which can be found on her website, JackieTheAstronaut.com. And I quote, "I write about life, my messy self, and children's books, documenting and celebrating the beautiful along with the broken," end quote. That reminds me, just a heads up, in today's story, there is a mention of suicide. And just wanted to give you the warning, because I know that can be a sensitive topic for some. If you prefer to read the story at a later time, I have left the link again in the description of this episode. So, relax your body, relax your mind. The pink moon will once again make you feel sleepy. Honey, Red Lipstick Must Be Earned by Jackie O'Hyan. Freshly washed cobblestone street, anticipation and excitement keeping me company along the way. I had been eyeing this beautiful boutique ever since we moved to Paris the month prior, but hadn't yet gotten the nerve to walk in. Based on the black and silver decorative boxes that lined the windows, I knew that the place would smell wonderful, and had the crystal vials that occupied the mirrored shelves would be expensive. Today was a special day. After a month of being beaten down by Paris, I finally had my first victory, a new job. And to celebrate my first big win, I was going to buy something I had been wanting for a very long time. Red lipstick. Although it hadn't yet happened, I was overjoyed at the prospect of telling my mom that my first tube of red lipstick was purchased in this gorgeous boutique in Paris. Years earlier, when my mom was visiting me in Seattle, I had told her that I wanted her to help me pick out some red lipstick. "Honey, red lipstick must be earned," she stated. "What do you mean? I have earned it," I replied stubbornly. "I just passed the bar exam." "And I am proud of you for that, but red lipstick is an attitude," she said simply. "Red lipstick is a confidence that can only be achieved through time. While passing the bar exam was an incredible accomplishment on your part, you just haven't earned red lipstick yet. You'll understand one day." When I continued to protest, she accompanied me to Nordstrom, where we made our way to the numerous makeup counters on the ground floor. After trying on a variety of reds, I had to admit that perhaps she was right. I wiped off the red-blue and red-orange hues and left the store empty-handed. 6 years, two businesses, one marriage, two children, a mortgage, a new country, and a brand new job later, I felt like it had finally arrived, red lipstick day. My mom was going to be thrilled. As I approached the door, butterflies took flight in my stomach. I used the exhilaration of my new job to push past intimidation and reach for the ancient handle poking out of the glass door framed in teal wood. I took a deep breath, turned the knob, pushed the door open, and stepped up into the store. I closed my eyes and breathed deeply. The store smelled every bit as beautiful as I had imagined it would. Oui, bonjour, the store clerk called out to me, interrupting my private reflection on this much-awaited moment. There was no comment allez-vous, how are you, or even a ça va, what's up. This was Paris, after all. She didn't care how I was. I shook off my negative thoughts about Paris and focused on the woman. She was gorgeous, straight from the cover of a glossy magazine. Her hair was dark and cut into a bob with short bangs, and although it would have been a horrifying look on me, it looked perfect on her. She had on a black blazer and a black and white pinstriped skirt that fell just above her knees. Her red high heels had silver accents and pointy toes. Her eyebrows were groomed, her lashes long and thick, and her lips were expertly painted red. I smiled at her and said, in my very best French, "Bonjour." She cringed. The cat was out of the bag. I was American. "Je voudrais..." And before I could even finish, she cut me off. "I cannot understand you. Let's speak English, no?" she said impatiently. "Oh, okay," I replied. "I would like some red lipstick, please." She took a moment to look me over, and I couldn't help but get the feeling that I was somehow inadequate. Maybe I should have fixed my hair better. Damn, mon bun. Perhaps I should have also gone home before coming here and changed my shoes. At the moment, I was wearing cowboy boots. Although Parisian women peruse these streets in high heels, I could only make it a block before my feet were aching. So I preferred cowboy boots for long treks. And in Paris, every day was a long trek. As she continued to size me up, I looked down at my hands. All of a sudden, the fact that my nails aren't polished, an everyday occurrence, seemed offensive. I should have at least put some makeup on, I thought to myself.
No, I think that you would be more comfortable in this color, she said as she grabbed a lipstick tube off the shelf.
When she opened it, I see that it is pretty, much the same color as my natural lips, colorless. But I would really like a red color lipstick, I replied, with an unsure smile.
No, girls like you do not wear red. They wear this color.
I took a moment to glance around for the video cameras and production crew. Surely I had stumbled onto a remake of Pretty Woman, because at this moment I was Julia Roberts, and this woman is telling me they do not stock my size of dress because she thought I wasn't worthy of it. I wanted to tell her to shove that nude lipstick up her... But in all fairness, I didn't think it would fit considering a stick already occupied the hole. Besides, I'm a nice girl. Nice girls don't say things like that. I considered walking out, but something inside of me prevented me from doing so. Paris, up to this point, had been so difficult, nearly impossible. I fought hard for my new job and earned that employment contract. Gosh damn it, I was not leaving that shop without lipstick. But when I tried to voice those thoughts, I was left with silence. My face flamed red, brighter than the lipstick I had longed for. I slowly made my way across the tiny space to the cash register. By the time I mounted the 5 flights of stairs to my Parisian apartment, I had almost talked myself into believing that I had actually preferred the nude color shade over red. When my husband got home that night, I tried on my new Break the Bank lipstick and asked him what he thought. "You're wearing lipstick?" he replied. "Chapstick would probably be cheaper and look the same." I went into my room, shut the door, and cried. Not because of the lipstick, but because living in Paris is so much harder than it was in my daydreams. Paris versus Jackie, round one. Paris, 206, because I'm pretty sure it hates me. Jackie, 1, because I got that damn job. Unfortunately, my hardships in Paris did not end there. Although my mind had romanticized living in the city of love to such a degree that it was a fairy tale come true, the reality is that it just wasn't. Things that were so easy and natural in the United States, opening a bank account, finding childcare, renting an apartment, smiling, were nearly impossible in Paris. In fact, just a few short weeks after starting that new job, I had to quit because I couldn't find a daycare that would take my 8-month-old daughter and 3-year-old son. Over the next year, I continued my long battle and became a desperate woman, not only to be successful, but to meet the basic needs of my family. As the seasons changed, I was confronted on a daily basis with something I didn't know much about: failure. And then my baby ended up in the hospital. Socialized medicine is a wonderful thing when it comes to pediatric checkups and common illnesses, but when doctors and nurses lack the motivation to treat a baby, then it becomes a horrible, despised thing. On one particularly rough day, my sweet little girl vomited all over herself, me, the bed, and the floor. When I called for help, 3 nurses poked their heads into the doorway, muttered, "Oh la la," and told me they would be back to clean her up after they had their lunch. Being a public hospital, it did not provide luxuries such as towels. I cried as I bathed my sick daughter in the sink, used hand soap to wash her body, and scratchy brown paper towels to dry her delicate, sensitive skin. To cut an extremely long story short, after numerous arguments with the doctors and nurses, I ended up kidnapping my daughter from the hospital, kissing my husband goodbye, and purchasing 3 one-way tickets at the airport counter to fly back to Alaska. When I arrived, nearly a year after moving to Paris, my daughter weighed significantly less than she did when we moved to France, and so did I. I was down 20 pounds. My mom cried when she saw me, not because she was happy to see me, but because I looked wretched. I felt even worse. With my daughter undergoing medical treatment in Alaska, my husband decided to join us on a permanent basis, and so we embarked on our second leap of faith in a 1-year period. I tried my best to remain happy and positive as we put the bricks of our new life into place. But very quickly, I felt desperation and anxiety closing its grip over my throat. I couldn't get over the fact that I was back in Alaska, a place I had worked so extremely hard to escape. Hoping to find peace at work, I accepted a job alongside my husband, which quickly accelerated my downward spiral. Things got so bad for us during this time that I stopped answering the "how many glasses of wine do you consume on a weekly basis" question at the doctor's office. Alaska, like Paris, was proving to be another miserable failure. And then, around Thanksgiving 2013, I received a phone call, which reminded me how precious life is. Death came for one of my loved ones, and it did so in a gruesome way. Suicide. When I returned home from my cousin's funeral, I vowed to take life's reins in my hand and change a few things. I stopped uncorking bottles of wine and started applying for new jobs. Shortly after I found one, my husband did too. With lots of prayers, we found ourselves in a new state. In a few years of battling to find a home, a real home, we won. My husband goes to work happy and comes home even happier. My son has learned to read. My daughter, fully recovered, wants to ski without being bribed to do so. I have found my calling. Eventually, on a self-driven mission fueled by my desire to fulfill a promise I once made, I found myself back in that city I so desperately loved, but did not love me. And in fulfilling this promise, I found myself on a familiar, freshly washed cobblestone street, looking at a beauty boutique with a perfect window display. Without hesitation, I walked up to the teal-framed glass door, reached for the ancient handle, and walked in. When I did this, a woman looked up nonchalantly from behind her register. "Oui, madame, bonjour," she said. Her hair is longer now. Rather than a severe bob, it falls to her shoulders in soft waves, but she is just as sharply dressed. She doesn't know me, but I would recognize her anywhere. "Bonjour, j'ai besoin de rouge à lèvres, rouge, s'il vous plaît." "Hello, I'd like some red lipstick, please." My French may suck, but I know she understands me. And this time, I am not leaving the store with a colorless lipstick. Her eyes travel the length of me. And even if this wasn't déjà vu, I can tell from the expression on her face that she is sizing me up. I see her take note of my nearly makeupless face, my air-dried hair, those dreaded cowboy boots. And as she scrutinizes me, I scrutinize myself. It has been several years since I was last in this flawless beauty shop. In that time period, I have battled foreign doctors who refused to treat my sick baby girl. It was an extremely long fight, but we finally found her the help that she needed to recover. And she is now thriving. In that time period, I have weathered a boardroom whose members could have given birth to the expression dog-eat world. It was a miserable experience and I'd rather not repeat it, but I am a better leader because of it. In that time period, I have looked at a domineering teacher in the face and told her that although many people may need her input on the art of parenting, I was not one of them. My son is now flourishing in school. In that time period, I have felt the grief of a loved one lost to suicide and written my way through it. Standing up to myself and shedding the guilt that accompanies suicide is one of my greatest personal accomplishments. In fact, in that time period, I have been kicked so fully and completely in the face that the only way I could survive was to conquer a few things that are only possible through confronting failure. By the time I emerged from the dust, spitting out teeth and sand along the way, I knew patience, compassion, and a love so deep that I catch my breath as I write this. So when the woman looks me back in my eyes, I return her gaze so thoroughly that I can almost see the back of her eye sockets, and then I smile. I may have learned the art of confidence and standing up for myself, but I'm still a nice girl. Mais bien sûr, suivez-moi. But of course, follow me. She replies and pulls out a variety of tubes for my viewing pleasure. As she rings up my purchase and puts it into a beautiful black and silver box, I smile. Red lipstick day at last. Paris versus Jackie. Round 2. Paris, 0. Jackie, red lipstick. And now it's time for the commentary. And I have so much to say because I love red lipstick. As a matter of fact, I'm wearing it right now. And I have, I think, 1, 2, 3 tubes of red lipstick. And I actually use them quite frequently. I do have to say that, you know, if you are a new listener, I am Latina, and us Latina women, we tend to gravitate towards bold and bright colors when it comes to our makeup. Now, having said that, my first lipstick was not red. It was a bold color, but it was not red. I wasn't ready for it yet. Jackie's story really resonated with me because as I was reading it the first time, I remembered my own journey with red lipstick. You see, makeup in general is a reflection of where we are in our lives. Colors and trends, they come and go. But the red lipstick is one of those classic makeup looks. And yet, not everyone... Not everyone has the confidence to wear it. In some cases, it's the confidence. You'll see what I mean as I go through the commentary. I am so mesmerized by this makeup staple that one night I was, you know, surfing the internet. I was looking for articles to read. For this podcast. And I asked myself, I wonder if there are any stories about red lipstick, like it's either fiction, nonfiction. I just want to see what's been written about it. And I'm not talking about the history of red lipstick. No, I was not interested in that because I've looked into that. I wanted an actual story. And that's how I came across Jackie's article. Also, while preparing for this episode, I did a poll on my Instagram, and I have to tell you something. I tend to interact a lot with my followers over at Instagram, and I'm always asking questions, I'm doing surveys, asking for their feedback, and they tend to answer my questions and so forth, but the red lipstick questionnaire is the one that they provided so much feedback. I mean, the number of people that voted, it's incredible. They really enjoyed the topic. That's the power of red lipstick, my friends. So much so that I'm going to dedicate an episode just reading the comments that I received in regards to the red lipstick. That's right. There is a part two. I've never done this on my podcast, but there you go. Red lipstick wants to shine all by itself. So I'm going to be reading those comments on my next episode. The other reason why Jackie's story spoke to me is because, well, I too lived in France. And to be more exact, it was in the city of Nice in the Mediterranean. I have been to Paris a few times, but I didn't live there. It was in Nice, and both cities are quite different. They have a different pace, different rhythm, different atmosphere, different culture, really. Overall, I would say my experience living in France was quite positive. There is a sentence that she said in the article that, again, it really spoke to me, and I could feel that pain when she said, about Paris, she said, "The city I loved but did not love me." I'm going to tell you something. So far, I've lived in 4 countries. And within those 4 countries, I've lived in different cities. I've been exposed to different languages and different cultures. And there have been cities where I don't feel welcome. And it has nothing to do with the people. It could be the environment. It could be the weather. It could be many different things. It's interesting how a city can reject you. It's not always the people. And you move there with high hopes, starting a new life, a new chapter. And you think that, okay, I'm going to be successful here, whatever that means to you, right? And it's like, yeah, you know, and then suddenly things are not working out. Things are not falling into place. And many times I have felt like a fish out of water. And in some instances, it just takes time to adjust. Because when you move to a new place, you have certain expectations and then reality hits and you're like, oh, okay. You begin to understand the new environment and you make peace with it, I guess, I suppose. You know, and it can be complicated sometimes. When she mentioned wearing the cowboy boots in the fancy boutique, I laughed because I don't have a pair of cowboy boots, but I do have a pair of Converse shoes. And you have no idea how many times people have given me the look, the side eye, you know, to my Converse shoes, because I've worn them in places, you know, that I didn't know I was supposed to be wearing high heels, you know, more like a different attire. And it really reminds me, this whole experience reminds me that not only do you feel out of place when you are in a different country, but you also feel out of place when you're starting a new job in a new industry. Because every industry has its own culture, its own attire, its own aesthetic. So for example, the tech industry, you know, Silicon Valley. I remember reading an article a long time ago where they were saying that the uniform, the unofficial one anyways, is a pair of khaki pants and a t-shirt. I don't know if any of you have seen that. And it just that became the stereotype. But that's the culture. That is the culture of Silicon Valley. Now, if you go into law, well, that is semi-formal wear. So if you're coming from the tech industry and you just happen to go into law or vice versa, you're going to need an adjustment period because your fashion changes. And there is something about clothes, really, that when you are exposed to a new aesthetic, it takes time. It takes time to adjust because your attitude has to grow into those clothes. I hope I'm making sense. The one thing I have noticed about the red lipstick is that it can be intimidating. That is the one thing. It didn't matter what industry, like what job I had. It's like the reaction towards the red lipstick is the same. And when I say intimidating, it's not so much for the wearer, but for the person who's seeing you wear it. Red lipstick can be a double-edged sword. It can work for you or against you. And you need to apply your street smarts knowledge and decide when to wear it. At least that's my opinion. Again, this is my commentary. I've been in situations where when I'm wearing the red lipstick, which is quite often, the reaction from people is, it really is something. There is something about that color. And that's why I can't wait to record part 2, because this is a phenomena that my followers on Instagram were mentioning. So this is going to open so many discussions. I cannot wait to hear from you. But let's keep going with my commentary. I am almost done. But just like Jackie states in her article, there comes a point in your life where you've lived through so much, you've survived, and you are now thriving, that the red lipstick is like your badge of honor. It's a rite of passage. I too remember when I first bought my first red lipstick. I actually bought two. I bought two because I couldn't decide which one, if I wanted a matte finish or a glossy finish. So, you know, I got both. I had just finished a short program at a makeup school, and I was eager to apply my makeup knowledge. And I remember our makeup teacher, he actually taught us a class specifically on how to apply red lipstick. This is so interesting because the technique for it, it's like he didn't use black or purple lipstick or any other bold color. This one was specifically for red lipstick. So naturally, I felt I was ready to wear it, but I was not. I only wore it once or twice after my purchase, and it just, those tubes of lipstick, they basically just gathered dust. Then, a few years later, I was really stressed at work. There was so much negativity. It was quite a toxic environment. And in this darkness, shopping therapy helped quite a lot. And then one day, a tube of red lipstick was like the bright light in this darkness. I bought it, I put it on, and never looked back. I also noticed that people treated me differently with the red lipstick. It was almost as if the color was blocking off the negativity. It was almost as if saying, don't mess with this one. It was really interesting. It really boosted my confidence. It boosted the morale, I guess you could say. And after leaving that toxic work environment, I've never stopped wearing it because the lipstick and my attitude, my newfound look on life, they go hand in hand. And I gotta tell you, red lipstick has been my protector, a conversation starter, my motivator, my love. And even though I wear other colors from time to time, and each color has a different meaning to me, even a purpose, in my purse, the red lipstick will always reign supreme. So, beautiful listeners, that concludes my commentary. And I am now opening the floor to you. I want to hear from you. Share your thoughts about today's episode. Is there a story you'd like me to read for this podcast? Great. If it's in the public domain, I can read it. If it's an article, send me the link. And I will connect with the author and see if permission will be granted. I can be reached at thepinkmoonpodcast@gmail.com. Please keep in mind that I might read your message on a future episode, so let me know how you would like me to address you. You can remain anonymous or say, hey Sumni, call me Betty Boop or Marilyn Monroe. Until next time, sending you love and light. Ciao.